The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kofnon Beis, Isser Yichud Ushar Kreves Benashim. This Simon is going to discuss the proper conduct with women who are not one's wife, and it's basically two aspects of it. One is the Isra of Yichud, which is the prohibition to be secluded with a woman who is not a wife or a close family member, and the other issue is in general the proper conduct between men and women who are not married or not family members. Now, we know the Torah says, Lo'isikrivu l'galus erva, that one should not become close to an avera, and we learn from there that not only is it a problem to actually do the forbidden act, but also to do things that bring one to that. So therefore, the idea of yichud is to be secluded with a woman who is prohibited to him, so the idea is that being in that situation would definitely bring one closer to that type of thing, and therefore it's not permitted. According to most Paiskim, Yichud is a deraisa, Yichud is a Torah prohibition, and that would mean one man with one woman. That would be a deraisa prohibition. We're going to see that there are issues with even one man and two women. That would be rabbinic. Now, that is definitely prohibited, but sometimes when there's other reasons to be lenient, there will be more of a reason to be lenient with one man and two women as opposed to one man and one woman. Let us begin with Sif Aleph. Also, Lis Yachet Im Shum Isha, one is prohibited in secluding himself with one woman, Ben Yalda, Ben Zkeno, whether the woman is young or old. So even though she's old or very young, you might not be as concerned that he's going to do something wrong. But halacha is nonetheless that that's prohibited. Bein Yisraelis, bein Nachris, whether the woman is Jewish or not Jewish. Bein Krevasai, bein Krevasai, whether it's a relative or not. Now, as I mentioned, there are basically only two relatives that is permitted, or really three, which is a mother or a daughter, or a sister for not long periods of time. But everyone else, let's say a cousin or anything else like that, you know, a sister-in-law, all these things would definitely be a problem. Now let's continue. And this is what the Kitzer says, Chutz min ha'av, except for a father, Shemutu l'siach ben bitay, that's permitted to be secluded with his daughter, v'aimim b'na, and a mother with her son, v'habalim ishtay, afal pishay nida. This is an interesting point, that a husband with his wife who is in the status of a nida, so they're not allowed to have relations, so therefore she is an erva, right? She is prohibited, but it is permitted. And the reason is because since she will be permitted later and because they already work together, so therefore we don't say there's such a strong yetzahara. And the Kitzer adds, V'kalashi nida ayin lakaman simen kufnan zayin, and if a bride is a nida, so now you have the Hector, you have the reason to be lenient because she's going to be permitted later, but this is a new relationship, so therefore yichud is a problem. So that's why if a bride and groom, if the bride is a nida at the time of the wedding, then they need to make arrangements that as far as sleeping arrangements, they shouldn't be sleeping secluded with each other. Then once the marriage is consummated, then there's no issue anymore because they already had a relationship and in the future she will be permitted, and that's why any regular woman with her husband is permitted even though she's a nida. Now, it's an interesting discussion that the Pais can talk about, which is what exactly is the shear of how long it's prohibited to be secluded. There's different amounts of time given, but what the question becomes is that we know in many types of Isurim, let's say different types of prohibitions, let's say a kezayis, a olive-sized piece of pork is prohibited. So what about eating half a olive-sized piece of pork? So we say chatzi shir asur min ha-Torah, that a half of it is also prohibited. Now, when it comes to yichud, right, what about being secluded for a very short amount of time, that nothing even could happen, what about then? As do we say, since yichud is a prohibition, that like any prohibition of the Torah, even a small bit of it is a problem. This is a question. Now, many Paiskim dismiss that notion for the reason that Yichud, unlike other things, is a little bit different, because even a small piece of pork is pork. But over here, Yichud, the seclusion itself is not necessarily the prohibition. It's a seclusion that could come to doing something wrong, that's the prohibition. But the actual seclusion itself is not the problem. So this is a discussion. Now, they do talk about, what about an elevator? Let's say a man and woman are going in an elevator together. So there, even those who are stringent on this type of question want to argue and say that since at any time the door could open, so therefore that's a small bit of yichud that could never amount to something significant. So therefore, even according to the more stringent view, if the door could open at any time, that would not be a problem of yichud. So the bottom line is that the consensus is that obviously if there are other people in the building, even if a man and woman are secluded in an elevator for a couple minutes, you know, going up a number of floors, that's not a problem of yichud. Let's continue now with Sif Beis. So now we have this concept that when a man and woman are secluded, but if there's someone who could create a certain safeguard, then it's not going to be an issue. So if the person's wife is there, so obviously he's not going to do anything in front of his wife. He's permitted to seclude himself with another woman, even though generally there's a rabbinic prohibition for a man to be with two women, as we're going to see further. If they should ishtei misham rasa, because the wife acts as a guardian. Now, what about a Jewish woman being with a non-Jewish man? So then, the Kitzer says the wife doesn't help. The non-Jewish wife doesn't help. Afilu ishtei imoy, even if there's a wife that doesn't help. Afilu hem harbi nachriyos unshasem imam. And even if there's many non-Jewish men and women, loisis yachin imam, you shouldn't do it, because we can't be sure that they keep the same standards of conduct as us. So therefore, it could be that they won't be as careful, care as much, even if with their wives are there. So therefore, the halacha is that it's still prohibited. Let's continue with Sif Gimel. Isha achas misyacheres im shnei anoshim ksheim. Now, as I mentioned before, one man with two women is prohibited. So one man with one woman is deraisa, one man with two women is drabanan, one man with three women during the day is permitted according to most paiskim. We're going to see it a little bit more in a second. But what about the opposite? What about one woman with two men? So then, that's definitely permitted, because the man is going to be embarrassed to the other man. Now, that's only if he's a kasher, it's only if a person who has morally upright person, so therefore he's not gonna be a part of such a thing. Bedafka ba'ir, and it's only in a urban place, ubayam, and during the day. Aval basada or balayla, but in a field or at night. So what's the problem? The problem is that there's two men, and one of them is gonna be the guardian for the other. The problem is that if at night one of them goes to sleep, so then there's not going to be a guardian. So therefore, we want to have three men at night in such places, because then you always have at least enough people around that it shouldn't be an issue. And this is exactly what the Kitzer says, read it carefully, that aval basada ibalayla, if it's in a place that's secluded or at night, afilu ba'ir, even if it's in an urban place, if it's at night, ba'ir shloisha anashim kshirim, we need three men, because then already, even if one goes to sleep, you'll still have another one around. Even if everyone's sleeping, I guess there's enough people around that we feel nothing would happen. In pritzim, but if with men that are not upright and moral people, la'olam loisis yachid, then it doesn't help. Afilu hem kama, because they could all be partners in crime. If their wives are there, so then already, if they're Jewish, then we assume that at least when their wives are there, they'll behave themselves. Okay, so what about one man and two women, as we mentioned before? It's prohibited. What about more than two? What about three? Yesh matirim, the custom is to permit it. If his business is not something that that he deals with women, you know, let's say he sells them perfumes or these types of things, so he has this ongoing relationship with them, they sort of feel connected to him. So then already, even if one man with a number of women were concerned, because since they sort of have sympathy for him, then they're not going to, they may not, you know, tell on him the same way that they would to someone else, and therefore there's still that concern that maybe he would do something he shouldn't be doing. V'yesh ayser m'chol inyan, and there are those that hold that it's prohibited always, even three. There's a discussion in the Gemara, you know, who's called a moral person in today's days. So the Gemara had very high standards, but the prevalent, at least Ashkenazi custom, is to permit if, again, the man is known to be a moral person and doesn't have a relationship with these women, you know, a business relationship, so to permit it if there's one man and three women. Now let's continue with Sif Dalet. Isha Shabalo Ba'ir, a woman whose husband is in the city, ain't chayshish in l'siyachrim. We're not concerned. Why? Because the fear of her husband is upon her. Now there's a discussion exactly what does that mean? How does this fear work? Many learn that it has to be that he could actually come home. So there's a discussion. Well, let's say, you know, they live in New York City, and he lives, and his work is totally on the other side of town. It's impossible for him to come in a long time. So according to some opinions, it doesn't help for him to be in the city. But others feel that still the fact that he's in proximity would be enough. So again, it's something to keep in mind that it may not necessarily apply, this leniency. Another point that's brought out is that this leniency does not apply if they're extremely familiar with each other, known as gusba, because in that situation also, the fact that the husband's around is not enough of a deterrent. Now let's continue with Sif Hey. Bayis Shapischei Pasuch L'Shas Rabim. A house that's opens up to the public domain. Ein Shom Iser Yichud B'Yom. There's no prohibition of Yichud during the day. B'Tchilas HaLayla. And at the beginning of the night. Kol Zman Shabnei Adam Oivrim Meshavim B'Rechay. Now if the door is open to the public domain, and people are on the street, then it's not a problem. Now, there is a very big discussion as far as what does it mean that the door is open to the Rishus HaRabim. What exactly does that mean? So some say it has to be physically open. The actual door has to be physically open, so it's really easy just to walk in. Others say, no, as long as it's not locked. Now, some understand, or Moshe Feinstein has a piece that he writes about this, he understands that it could have to do with, you know, the nature of where you live. In other words, in a place that people are very polite, and if the door is closed and they don't come in, even if it's not locked, so then you need the door to be actually physically open. But if it's in a place where people, you know, even if the door is unlocked, people would still come in, so then it would be okay. Now, one could say, and there are those that sort of make this sort of compromise, that when we're dealing with Yichud D'Oraisa, when we're dealing with the Torah prohibition of Yichud, one man and one woman, so then you have to be careful and the door has to be physically open. Whereas if it's going to be Yichud D'Rabbanan, one man with two women, so then you could be lenient on the opinion that holds, it's enough to keep the door unlocked. Now, there's another point that I many times think about it with these halachas, and that is that the idea of Pesach B'suach L'Shas Aram, that a door is open to the main street, it means to say that it's actually the area where the people are is secluded. You can't see it, but you could enter it, and therefore the very fact that you could enter it, is that enough to be a deterrent for Yichud? Now, based on that logic, what if you have a house that's on the street, and even if, let's say, the door is closed or locked, but the blinds are completely open, so people from the outside could definitely see into the house, at least into the front rooms, possibly even further into the house. So then already, one could argue that it's much stronger than Pesach Pasuach L'Shas Rabim, that a doorway is open to L'Shas Rabim, because obviously we're not concerned that two people are going to do something in front of the public, right? The issue is only if they're going to do something in private where other people could pop in on them. So, as we're going to see in a moment, that the leniency of a doorway open to the Rosh Hashanah does not help well, let's say the people are overly familiar with each other, which is going to create a lot of issues, right? Let's say you have a sister-in-law and a brother-in-law, so they're completely forbidden to each other, and it's not a father and a daughter, and yet they may be in the same house together. So what do you do about that? You leave the door open to Rishus HaRabim? Well, they may not help because they're familiar with each other. Now, if there are other family members that can come in all the time, then maybe that would be good, possibly. But again, it may only be Pesach Pasuach Rishus HaRabim, which seems to be not work if people are very familiar with each other. So, but according to the idea that we're saying now, it would help a lot, because if the windows, let's say, are physically open, and, you know, the shades are physically open, and people from the street could actually see in, so that would be a much stronger deterrent, and that might help in all cases. Now let's continue in the Kitzer. If they're very familiar with each other, like they grew up together, or their relatives, or a different scenario would be that the husband felt that there was something going on between them, and therefore he told her not to seclude herself with him, which is maybe not a good idea, because we know there's a whole parsha in the Torah of Saita, which is a woman who the husband forbids her from secluding with a man, and if she goes against that, she creates some sort of prohibition on herself, and that's the whole story of Saita, which is that she needs to drink that water to verify that it's not true. But the point is that then these situations, the mere fact that the door is open is not going to be enough to permit yichud. I had once an interesting thought on what it means, this concept of gaspa that's used in the Gemara, to being overly familiar, that the Rashi in the Parsha Zayis HaBracha says that Moshe Rabbeinu was gospa with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was overly familiar with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what does that mean? So says Rashi, Medaber imai b'chol eis shiyirse. He, unlike other prophets, was able to talk to God whenever he wanted to. So it seems that if a man and a woman have the type of relationship that they would call each other whenever they wanted or speak to them whenever they wanted because they're so familiar, and that would be gaspa. If it's more of a reserved type of relationship, you know, cordial, respectful, but not to that extent, then one could argue, based on this Rashi, that it may not come to the level of gaspa. Now, there's another point that I'd like to mention over here. This interesting question, which would be today when there's a lot of video cameras, right? So would that change things? So I saw Nissen Karelitz on the Paiskim and Eretz Yisrael talk about it, and basically, if we know that the camera, if they know that they're being videotaped, you know, and wherever they're going to be, it's going to be under that surveillance, and it's a very strong argument to say that they're not going to do anything, because obviously it's going to be right on camera, and we're obviously talking about a camera that's going to be viewed. But if the areas of the house where they could be secluded in, away from the camera, then that may not help. Or maybe, you know, they could cover the camera or something like that. But that's an interesting discussion that we have today. Let's continue now with Sif Vav. Tinok shehi p'chusa mishalishanam. So now the question is, what's the minimum age for the problem of yichud? So the answer is for a girl, 3 years old. Because, again, what's the issue? The issue is that maybe they're going to come to do an aveira, prohibited relations. And below 3 years old, it's not considered relations with a girl. And so therefore, mutar l'siyachet ima, so it's permitted. V'chein tinok p'chus miteshashanam. And the same way, see, a woman with a boy, so below 9 years old, he wouldn't be considered to be doing an act, and therefore, again, it would not be prohibited. So therefore, in these situations, if the girl is below 3, or the boy is below 9, then it would be permitted to be secluded with them. Let's continue now with Siv Zayin. Misha Ein La Isha. So now, these are additional distances that Chazal made to, again, keep people from doing the wrong thing. Now, it's important to mention in general the hashkafa over here, the outlook, which is that, you know, in the secular world, people don't have these types of safeguards, and people feel it's like beneath them that, you know, I'm an upright person. Why do you think I'm going to come to it? The Torah has a very different view. He says people are human, and the greatness of a person is the fact that they put these safeguards in. There's a famous story with Chaskel Levenstein, who he was the Mashkiach in Shanghai and then later in Panovich, and he was in the house of a certain Gadol, and he said like that they actually let me be alone with the silver candlesticks. Now, to him, the fact that the way he became great was by distancing himself from normal human compulsion. So therefore, he was saying that those normally he wouldn't want to be secluded with something that he could possibly stoop to the level of stealing. Now, the point that I'm trying to bring out is that from a Torah perspective, greatness is not saying I'm macho and I'm not going to come to anything. Greatness is saying that I'm human and I could come to something. So therefore, the more I distance myself, that's what makes me great. That's what you see throughout these halachas. Now, Siv Zayin, Misha Ein Le'isha, a person who is not married, Le'ihilam Alam Etinoikis. It says that he should not be a teacher. Why? In the old days, you have the one-room schoolhouse, and he's just there, and the mothers come. So, there's one last kid coming, he's picking up the child, and he's with the mother, and it's Yechud. But if he's married, then it's different, something else. That's okay. That if she's around in the same city, then that would be permitted. I feel he based of because in this situation, the wife could protect the husband. And I think the reason is that even though generally a wife does not being in the same city doesn't protect the husband, unlike a husband being in the same city for a wife. But in this situation, I think it's not true yichud. It's not real yichud. So therefore, we don't want him to do it on a consistent basis. But if there's some, at least a minor deterrent, that he is married, and so we're not as concerned about him being overcome with his evil inclination, and the wife is around, so that would be enough in this situation. But if it would be true yichud, I do not believe that it would be enough that the wife is in the city. Only a husband in the city for a wife works, but not a wife in the city for a husband. Now it continues, well, Isha loy salam in tinaikis, but a woman should not teach young boys, afilu yeshla baal ba'ir, even if the husband's in the city. Why? Because you have the opposite problem. Elaim hu dar imoy ba'is abayis, unless he's actually in that little schoolhouse, because she's going to be secluded, at least with the husbands when they come and pick up their children. Now, today, as we know, in most yeshivas, you know, in most elementary schools, there are plenty of wonderful women teachers. And the question is, how do we reconcile this halacha with this very common and accepted practice? So the different paiskim discuss it. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein understands in the tshuva that he writes is that over here we need really two elements. We need to become overly familiar with each other, right? There's a relationship here, there's a teaching relationship between this woman who's teaching and the fathers. She's doing something for them, so that there's a natural sympathy, a natural good feeling. But also, he says, it has to be in a situation of seclusion. Now, it's not a prohibited seclusion, because I would assume her husband's in the same city, right? Or for other reasons, maybe the door's open to the Rosh Hashanah, right? But the point is that there is some level of seclusion, and there is an overall familiarity and a working relationship because of the teaching. So Ramesha says that when a teacher teaches today in a school, so the school, you're not secluded in the school, so therefore we don't have the issue of seclusion. So even though there is that familiarity, because at the end of the day, this woman is taking care of this man's child, and there's a good feeling there, a normal good feeling, but because they're not secluded and together, even in a permitted way, but they're not secluded at all, because, again, it's in the school with other people, so therefore, it's not an issue. Now, part of the psychology behind what's going on over here with what Chazal were concerned about was that there's yichud in the sense of a one-time thing. A man and woman being secluded, we're afraid something bad's going to happen. There's another issue of yichud, which is over a long term, when people have a working relationship, and then there's the natural feelings to each other, which could come into other things. And, you know, if you look at the secular world, you know, people will deny, you know, these types of things, but then we look around and we see, well, this person goes off and marries a secretary. Well, how did that happen, right? So obviously, Chazal saw much farther and much more realistically about how people are, and they realized that we have to be careful about these types of relationships. Sivches. Tzarech ha'adam l'srachek min ha'nashim oid v'oid. A man should distance himself from women very much. Now, the idea over here is, as the Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch say, is that even though we don't assume that most men are going to act immorally, but the point is, it's something that's really there, and once people do fall prey to it, unfortunately, when people do get involved in something like this, you know, then it could be very damaging and very difficult to stop. Now, because of that, also Lukreitz biyadav ayberaglov v'lermais v'einav l'isha. So therefore, one should not blink, one should not wink and do these types of gestures to a woman. But also, list like ima, and one should not be overly, you know, frivolous with her. Lahakil reish kenegda, to be very, you know, silly in front of her. Ayla habit biyafya, or to intentionally look at her beauty. Also, lahariach bebesam hamyuchadim isha, he should not intentionally smell her perfume. Because shechein kishehi hachasam biyodeh, hashein tlin alel. Or definitely if she's actually holding the bottle, but even just a perfume that's specifically hers, he shouldn't be smelling. In the same vein, Osir Lestakil, the big day tzivainim, shall isha shuhuma kiraisa. He should not gaze intently at the clothing. Now, these are not regular clothing, these are clothing that's sort of ornaments to make her more beautiful. If a woman that he knows, a feeling, even if she's not wearing them, shema yavulu to hear her, laharba. Maybe he will think about her. Pagav isha b'shuk, one meets a woman in the marketplace. Also la lachachara, he should avoid walking behind her. Ela rats, but he should run aside. Shetishar l'tzadim or lachrav, that she should go be able to pass her. Now, 2 points on these things we mentioned. The first is, and this is something that we'll mention a little bit more further on, is that there's a difference between something that's done out of derech eretz, out of respect, out of just being polite and being normal and being nice, and something that's more trying to you know, spark more something more than just being cordial and respectful. And that's part of the idea over here, is that these type of gestures, like being overly silly or overly, you know, cute, we could call it, you know, to wink or to do these types of things, so you're not treating them as just another human being with respect and decency, and you want to say a good word and a good line, you know, that's normal, but you're doing something more than that, which Chazal were very concerned about. Now, as far as walking behind a woman in the street, the Pesukim do discuss that today, when, you know, women are in the street just as much as men, sometimes it's not very practical, because, you know, one woman's in front of him, so he'll go to the other side of the street and meet up with someone else. So the bottom line is, he should, you know, concentrate on what he's walking and sort of avert his gaze and to concentrate on where he's going and not to look around too much. Let's continue. For the Yavar Pesach Zayna, and one should not go past the door of a Zayna, that's a prostitute, Phil Berichuk Arba Amos, even 4 Amos away. So this is not only a boundary as far as your behavior, but it's actual physical boundary. This is a bad place. This is a place that a person could be seduced into doing something wrong, so therefore you better keep your physical distance. Now, this is a Gemara and a very important point, which is at the end of the day, all these safeguards are good, but the bottom line is that a person has to realize that it has a lot to do with their intent. Because even if one looks at her little pinky, so that's something that normally shouldn't arouse any bad thoughts, but he wanted specifically to enjoy it, it's a great sin, because again, he's trying to enjoy and benefit from something that he shouldn't be. For also, Lishmaya calls Zemer Isha, and it's prohibited to hear a woman singing, or to gaze intently on her hair. Now, the idea of kol b'isha erva, the idea is that these types of things, again, are some things that could arouse not good thoughts, and therefore they should be avoided as much as possible. Now let's continue with sif tes. Ein shor lim b'shlam isha klal, one should not ask in the shalom, shalom means peace of a woman at all. Now, what does it mean, shela shalom? This is a discussion in Paiskim, and it seems that shalom, if you look in the laws of avelus, you'll find, of mourning, you'll find a shalom, giving shalom to an avel, is a very important greeting. Saying hello, hi, good morning, that's something that's just being polite. But shalom is more of an intense personal greeting, and therefore with a woman, one shouldn't be doing that, because again, as we mentioned, one should have derech eretz, one should be respectful, but the idea is not to go further than that. Now, there is a discussion about saying mazel tov, and they bring that many great gedolim said mazel tov, and they said because it's actually a bracha, it's actually a blessing. So to give a blessing is fine. To give her this warm, overly inquisitive shalom aleichem is a different thing, because that's trying to spark a more personal relationship. I feel like the Baal Asr, even to send a message of this greeting to the husband, is prohibited, again, this is a greeting. When one writes a letter to his friend, say hi to your wife or me, say hello, because that's giving a greeting. But you know she wasn't well, you can ask how she's doing. So this again, we see a very fine line between being respectful, you know, the obligation to love a fellow Jew applies equally to men and women, and you have an obligation, and it's important to care, to want to know how every single Jewish person is doing, and therefore if you ask a person, how is your family, that's all fine. But to send regards is something a little bit different. Now, it's permitted to write in a letter, tell me how your wife is doing. Now, there's a very important piece of Aruch HaShulchan over here, which he discusses. He says, you know, a father-in-law has all his married children, and he has all his daughter-in-laws, and he says, of course you have to ask them how they're doing. Of course you have to talk to them, you have to ask them how they're doing, and all these types of things. So, the Aruch HaShulchan brings a very important ritva. The ritva writes that all these things, and we have a concept, the Gemara in Kedushin says that a person who serves a woman, that he shouldn't be serving a woman or vice versa, because that could lead to something not good. But the Gemara says the idea over there of Hakol L'Shem Shemayim Mutter, that if it's L'Shem Shemayim normally means for the sake of heaven. So the way the Ritva explains it is that if a person's doing it for the right reason, right, meaning to say he's doing it because he's not doing it just to spark a relationship, but he's doing it because there's a reason of derech eretz, of respect, of just genuine being a, you know, a mensch, and that's why he's doing it. So then that's something very different. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that basically it's a father-in-law's obligation to make sure that his children and his in-law children, they're all doing well. So that's his obligation, and that's proper. You know, if it's people who he doesn't have an obligation to, and he's just trying to be overly friendly and whatever, so that's something very different.